Yeah, very good evening to you. You're welcome along to Terrace Talk, our first of the new year. Seems late to be saying Happy New Year, but Happy January. I hope we find you well on this cool winter's Monday night. But plenty of sporting action over the weekend to keep the souls warm, if nothing else, with, of course, Dingle on Gaeltacht and Ballymac all booking their places in the All-Ireland Final. We'll be reviewing all those three games, of course, over the course of the next hour or so. And, of course, the Kerry senior footballers and hurlers back in action this week. Kerry footballers out tomorrow, of course. Hard to believe we're back around full circle again, and the hurlers out as well on Wednesday and Sunday. So we'll be chatting to the hurling lads and the football lads about what we might expect from the pre-season action. We'll also be taking a look at our predictions for the year. Always a good entertaining one to look back on later on in the year, but they have to be done first. And of course, we learned it over the weekend, the sad passing of Powell Dwyer from County Limerick. Of course, he was Ireland's strongest man. He was interviewed by Eamon Hickson here when I used to produce this programme back in 2021. It was a lovely interview at the time, talking about his ambitions for the years to come, but unfortunately passed away at the age of 40 over the weekend. So we listened back to that interview a little later on that Eamon Hickson conducted with the now late Pat O'Dwyer. If you want to get in touch with the programme with anything from the weekend, it was an action-packed weekend of sport, of course. You can get in touch 083 300 300. You can text or WhatsApp that one. Niamh is in studio. Take your calls 066 712 3666, or if you're out and about or further afield, you can always email us 24/7 terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Well, we will start with the club football action. It got not only Kerry talking, I think got the whole country talking the weekend. And once again, Tim and Ambrose giving an exhibition of commentary across their two games, and of course Paddy Mack as well, coming out on top. Liam Brosson, John Kennedy, as ever, regulars here in the studio, are going to dive into the matches. Good evening to you, lads. We'll start with Dingle, Liam, and I think if there's ever a name and a trophy, Dingle are just somehow all the time can seem to claw this thing back. And again, the introduction of Paul Ganey, whatever you want to say, incredible, and got over the line over a very strong Ballyboden team.
It's unbelievable, Ivan. I suppose, look, if we're a management, I suppose it's not the way you want to win a game, but by God, when you win it that way, it's unbelievable. Like, that Paul Ganey came off the bench in the second half, and I won't say just changed it, but it changed the attitude. You know, the whole attitude, the team, on their kickouts, they had more energy, they pushed up across the middle of the field, even though Mark O'Connor rose the game. Whatever was said at halftime and the addition of Paul Ganey, it was a different Dingle team in the first half. But definitely Ballyboden, you know, kind of played into Dingle's barrow a small bit, I think. And I said it to Joe yesterday, the taking off of Pat Warren, not just because he's a Kerry man, but Pat was after kicking 3 points. And not only that, he was keeping Tom Sullivan occupied. Mm-hmm. And the minute Pat was taken off, and Tom kind of said, right, I can go now. And the guy then that replaced Pat, you know, you could see he got into positions that if Pat Warren was there, he would have done more with it. But look, that's done and dusted now. But Ballyboden will be very disappointed, because even in the first half, they had opportunities to be even farther ahead, you know, that kind of way. Yeah. Dingle were holding onto their coattails, and that's the way it was in the first half. But the second half, no, there's so much to talk about in the second half. It was just the whole attitude of the Dingle team, the way it changed. Paul Ganey, of course, the kick-in. But look, I suppose it's no surprise just now, they've done it against Dax, they've done it against Finbars, and they've done it now again yesterday. Now, I suppose you could run out of luck at times, and I know people say that the name is on the trophy and stuff like that. They're coming up against a good Bridget's team, you know, that they've been there and thereabouts in the last couple of years. No, I don't think the Dingle management or the Dingle players would want to go that close again, I think. But if they can get all the injuries right, I think they're in with one hell of a chance, Ivan, to bring home the cup.
It gives us great entertainment when it does go like that from a neutral perspective. Just away, lads, from sport for just a second. We just have to get a message in from the Gardaí in a stall that the Ballylongford Road coming out of the stall is lethal at the moment with ice. Of course, it has been so cold over the last 24, 48 hours. Just be careful. I came over to Tralee in the middle of the day today, and from Gartley into Tralee was just like a sheet of glass in the middle of the day. So please, if you are out and about, try yourselves home nice and early by the fire. Last night light maybe the Christmas tree and try and get off the roads. If you do have to be out and about, just please, please do be careful, and you know, we don't want a bad start to the new year. John, I suppose back to the sport, and it was a good start to the new year for our lads. Look, as Liam mentioned, that first half, I was on Saturday Sport here and it was 14-5 at halftime. I think I even said it, Joe, it's a big way back for Dingle. And then Ballyboden got that goal kind of sorted in the second half. You're kind of saying, is this game set and match here? But Dingle, as you say, just kind of find a way, can't they? They always just dig it out.
Yeah, they can. It was incredible, Ivan. And, you know, from a Ballyboden point of view, everything went really well for them in the first half. You know, starting with their keeper, Hugh O'Sullivan. His kickouts were absolutely excellent.
100%.
Found his man all the time. Like Liam said, Pa Warren and Ryan O'Dwyer, particularly in the first half. You know, kicking, had a lot of space. Mm. But Dingle will be asking themselves today, and they'll be looking at the management team, breaking ball, energy, when they had the ball, the mistakes, turns over. Like, it was just incredible. But the second half, like, you know, Paul Gainey, we've said it so many times, but I think the minute he came in, Liam and myself are speaking about it, the minute he came in, there seems to be calmness. The first ball he got, it was very simple. He just won the ball, he flicked it to Dylan, and Dylan kicked it over the bar, order restored,
yeah,
back on track. But even after that, then, Basquel, I think in the 35th minute, Basquel got the goal, 10 points in it. I don't know.
They kept getting knocks, but they kept going.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll speak about it in more detail, but, you know, we'll talk about Tom Sullivan, who was outstanding, yeah, and we'll talk about Billy Connor and Mark O'Connor and the Gainies. But I thought Conor Flannery, centre half-back, was outstanding. He drove forward, should have got the goal, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, a massive shot in off the post, but I thought he was outstanding. Tig De Bruin at wing forward. Came of age, certainly, yeah, as a Dingle footballer, because this was the biggest stage of all, and he really took his goal really well. Coolness personified, mm-hmm, into the corner of the net. The big players come on big days, and certainly they did. But Paul Gainey's influence, you know, people will say we're going on and going on and going on about him, but he's just absolutely outstanding.
8 points off the bench.
8 points. He gave the ball to Mark O'Connor, and Mark kicked it into the goalie's hand, and we said, is that the chance gone?
Yeah.
The next one he got, Paul Gainey wasn't going to pass it.
No.
He waited, it was on the right. Will he kick? No, he'll be blocked. He turned back, but the experience, the calmness, the left leg, what a score, yeah, a two-pointer. What a brilliant point. And then Mark followed up with the insurance point.
That's the one I like, because, you know, when you're after, that's where Mark is after coming from, and he missed that
goal,
one.
Yeah.
But to take that, the point in after that, you know, the confidence, just shows like an elite athlete, you know,
pick up from a mistake again, because he went for the goal, it would have gone 2 points to your that side, into the keeper's hands. You thought, oh, gee, that's it, and Ballyboden will go up the field. You mentioned Tom Sullivan, lads. That was probably one of the best two-pointers I've ever seen kicked. Outside of the boot was incredible. And he kicked one outside the boot for a single point before, not long before that. That two-pointer was something else, wasn't it?
It was, Ivan. And I suppose, look, outside of the boot, when you see youngsters at the football field doing it, you'll be kind of pulling them aside and telling them,
it's the quarter flag more often
But when it's Tom Sullivan, it's his marquee kick now, really.
Just beautiful.
No, but it was a fantastic kick. But what I liked about Dingle as well, and they've done it in a few games this year, is that they're not afraid to kick a high ball into the square.
Yeah, that's what got him back into it.
That's what got him back into it. And it unhinged the Ballyboden defence completely, because Cathal Flaherty, their fullback, he couldn't manage Paul. Mm-hmm. And it was the same in the Stacks game. It was them high balls that were kicked into the square. And it just shows that club managers and every manager out there, that the only way to unhinge defences and stuff like that is quick early ball. And if you can kick a few high ones in as well, why not try it? Because with the new rules now, it does. But Dingle are really kind of making hay with that bit of attack, tactic, especially in the second half.
From a Ballyboden perspective, Johnny mentioned him, Pat Warren had 3 points. The lads on commentary were very surprised to see him come off when he did. He was kind of going well for Ballyboden, really. He was kind of making that space kind of on the right hand side in the second half, and he got whipped off. Were you kind of surprised with the decision there that got taken off?
Like, I'll be honest, if it's not an injury, Ivan, and there's been no word about it, if it wasn't an injury and the body language
didn't look like an injury,
if it was a terrible call. And we've all been on the line and made calls and some bad calls, but that was a terrible call. A man at the top of his game.
Yeah.
He was hurting Dingle. Both himself and Ryan O'Dwyer were on fire. Mm-hmm. And every time Warren got the ball, it looked as if he was going to score.
Yeah.
Team has placed one pass before he came off.
Yes, just before it, and it was kind of, you were coming off after that. The man was after kicking 3 points.
He was going
and not
very
only
well,
that,
yeah,
like, he was keeping Tom Sullivan on his toes.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That was the big one.
Yeah.
But the minute he went off, it was like gave a lease of life to Tom. And next thing, you know, the guy that replaced system just didn't do what Power was doing.
Yeah. Talk to me about the extra time, Liam, because they went in, I think it was at 1:20 apiece at the end of the normal time, I think it was. And then Ballyboden stretched, got 3 points. And you know yourself an extra time. We'll talk about Gaeltacht after this. Very, very few scores do come in extra time. And Ballyboden seemed to get that kind of second wind. They had a better start in the extra time, that 3 points. Were you fearful at that stage for Dingle?
I thought the tank was empty at that stage. Mm. But they seemed to get another resolve. You know, the likes of Matthew Flaherty, I think, came on then again. And he just gave him a new lease of life. You know, there's great credit as well due to the Dingle management. Yep. You know, I know you can say about Paul Ganey, that was probably one of the biggest outings so far from the Dingle club. You know, can you imagine being saying, do you start him? Don't you start him? Do you hold him? How good is he? You know, they held him, and you would think then, was it too late? And it just changed completely. They did the same with Matthew Flaherty. They were, you know, they're really after managing their team very well.
And I think, Liam, when things were going badly for Dingle, Matthew Flaherty was the one player early on that took the game.
Yeah.
You know, he was getting into tackles. He got a couple of points, and also, I suppose, the introduction of Mikey Ganey. I think that, like Liam said, the management, the timing of it. Okay, you have subs to bring on, but it's about the timing. But Mikey was outstanding when he came on. Showed his experience, won a few balls, won a few frees, but didn't give it away. That's the key thing. Didn't give the ball away. And I suppose, you know, when you're 8 or 9 points down, tactics go out the window then. Game plans
just go and play it in.
It's instinct in, isn't it? And you go on, like Liam said, Mark O'Connor got a few balls in the middle of the field. He was looking up for Paul, giving a couple of quality balls with the outside of the boot to Paul Ganey. Mm. Even if Paul wasn't going to win it, Ballyboden wasn't going to get it.
Yeah,
and they knew that, you know.
Yeah. No, it's the games themselves. Conor Ganey had a beautiful pass as well for the goal. Ty Brown, probably not in your list of goal scorers, potentially, Liam. But well taken goal, but the pass kind of made it as well. And that really, goal was needed for Dingle at that stage. We were chatting here off air, and when we were listening to it and watching the screens, and we were kind of saying, just Dingle, if Dingle had a goal now, you know, it might be back in it. And bang, they got it at the clutch moment of the game.
And we thought their chance was gone because they had the chance just before. There was an injury just before that.
Yeah.
But they had a chance, and then they hit Conor Ganey, hit the crossbar.
Yeah, and the post was another point.
So we thought, look, it's not their day, you know, that kind of way. Mm. But next thing, all of a sudden, the injury was, and the game was played, and next thing they hit the back of the net. You know, Tadhg De Bruin hit. You know, so he's been popping up in them places all year for him as well.
He has, yeah.
No, I remember inside in the county semi final, had a good game, the county final as well. You know, so this guy is really kind of doing his job there at number 10 for Dingle. But that goal was it was they needed it because the gap was too much on points.
It was too far. Even with 2 pointers.
Yeah, and when they got the goal, it just gave them that lift in again.
Doesn't it go to show, John, you know, under the new rules, we talk about the 2 pointers and how vital the 2 pointer has been for Gaeltacht and Dingle this weekend, but how you can get back into a game. And even we said the points are probably too much, but even the first goal, and all of a sudden a 2 pointer, maybe 5 points, like we always talk about hurling, like there was no margin, maybe 5-6 points was nothing. Kind of similar now in football, isn't it?
Oh, it's no doubt, Ivan. And the new rules have rejuvenated the game. The freshness is bringing, and like you said, it's 5 or 6 point lead. No, 2 two-pointers, you're back in it.
Whereas
a 5 or 6 point lead before, if you didn't get a goal, you could go back defensively, 14 behind the ball, you know. And I suppose there was another vital one there, Liam, as well. Tom Leo made a brilliant block when there was a goal on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those, they're small little things in the bigger scheme of things, but they all contributed to, you know. But what a day for Dingle, and what a weekend for Kerry football.
Yeah.
But this Dingle team, they never give up. And, you know, we talk about Paul Ganey, and we talk about Mark O'Connor getting the points. They look easy. Look at Ryan Baswell, the free, 13 metres out, 21 metres out, on the left-hand side, ideal for a right-footed kicker. He'd probably kick it with his eyes closed. Pressure.
Yeah.
Game on.
Two of them, didn't he?
He missed two of them. So it just goes to show that, you know, the quality comes through, and certainly on the Dingle side, they took their chances and massive scores.
Yeah. There'll be a good post-mortem done in Ballyboden this week, I'd imagine, Liam, and into the winter, but nearly into the spring now and through. You know, if you lead a game by 9 points at half-time, club final, how do you lose it? Like, can you kind of pinpoint maybe what happened to Ballyboden? How did it kind of, you know, you know, what happened them? Like, can they pinpoint it themselves? Will they be looking at answers in the, what did they say in the dressing room at half time? Did they think they had it sewn up? What do you think will be the, Lucy, the look at it?
Management teams have to be very careful now, like you said about the new rules. A game can swing very quick. No, and I do think they probably were a small bit overconfident, even going back to the Pat Warren taking off to sub, bringing on a guy. Was he as good as Pat Warren? You know, in their heads, probably, yeah. But realistically, he wasn't. And no, when the opposition then starts getting on top of you, it's very hard to fight back. And that's what Dingle did. Dingle started plugging away and it reminded me of really of Kerry and Armagh at that time, and Seanie Shea gave the interview after. They threw off the shackles because they had nothing to lose, and Dingle had the same thing. When you're down that much, you just go at it, and next all of a sudden the wave goes with you. And Ballyboden were kind of inside in a hole, and they found it very hard to get out. And like John said there, even Ryan Baskill, that kick at the end, that just summed up their second half.
Yeah.
Because like, if he got that kick in the first half, that was over the bar. At the way they were playing, the confidence and everything. But it just, there was just sheer panic there. And Dingle just kept within touching distance at all time, and then when they got the chance, they went in for the kill.
Yeah, and forcing the extra time after the drama we'd seen in the Gaeltacht game. John, there was such a strong Dingle support in Cork, and you know that we've seen that kind of fanfare with them even in the county championship this year and everything else. And I suppose the kind of West Kerry doubleheader in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, great scheduling by the GAA, to be fair, to have the two games on there. And I'd say there wasn't a light left on in West Kerry. It was great to see, wasn't it, that wave of support behind them.
Fantastic to see, and what a time for West Kerry football. You know, it is an incredible achievement that you're in two All-Irelands, two clubs within
neighbouring. Yeah.
And I think, listening to Paul Ganey and Mikey in interviews since the game, they're talking about the West, they're talking about what it means, they're talking about the Gaeltacht, they're talking about the joy of winning. But there's also the despair of losing. Mm-hmm. And that hurt. We've spoken about it here a few times, about Dingle, county semi-finals and finals, not getting over the line. Yeah. You know, the injuries, like Barry Dan, would Mark O'Connor be home? Paul Ganey's injury. But we never had an excuse coming for the Dingle management team. They just get on with it.
Yeah.
And in fairness to them, they're there on merit-like, and they're 60 minutes away from history. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you'd be a fair man to bet against them at this stage.
Yeah,
you would. And Joe, to be fair, we were kind of always giving our predictions of who, and you both said that they'd all go through, but at very tight margins. You got that one bang on. We'll have our proper predictions later on for the year ahead. Happy New Year to you all. Great weekend of club victories. But with the county hat on now, how do we keep Ganey fit for championship? His scoring ratio to minutes is off the charts. However, my main question is, how do we release Tom O'Sullivan from corner back? Is the answer a swap of Gray or giving his clubman namesake Tom Leo league time with Kerry? What is the panel's view or opinion?
Yeah, the Tom O'Sullivan's interesting, all right, but when you have a player like Tom O'Sullivan at number 4, you know, he can really upset a number 15 or a 13, you know, a corner forward when he's driving forward like that. And the way the game has gone now, whether you're a cornerback or a wingback, it's an attacking game anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, the wing back slips back into the corner if Tom has gone forward. So I'd say Tom will always play the way Tom plays. He's got all stars out of it. He's won all Irelands out of it. It won't change now at this stage.
Yeah. I suppose after the injury, he's really back to his best again.
He is, yeah.
Because that injury, he was plaguing him for a couple of months, you know. But he's really back. And some of the shooting the last day was, you know, again, I heard Paul Ganey saying, was he surprised when in an interview with Tom? He said, down the field, he's doing it constantly.
Yeah.
Thrown on the outside of the lift and over the bar.
Incredible watch. It's just a great skill, isn't it?
And I think watching the Saturday night again, that incredible score, he just turned to the stand and the passion in his face, you know, the whole place erupted. And scores like that get the stand and get the crowd behind you.
And that's what you need as well, John. And we always say, and we're saying here for years, your county players need to stand up to the plate when wanted. And to be fair, Tom in the first half, no, he was, even though Pat Warren was given a... But Tom was still kind of... He was still trying to drive forward, but definitely in the second half, no, they did stand up to the plate.
Yeah.
Another man diving, Billy Connor, the middle of the field. There was people saying that they didn't dominate. But you're talking about Cian Darcy and Alex Gavin, two fantastic midfielders, top quality. But Mark O'Connor grew into the game, But I thought Billy Connacht had 40 excellent minutes. You know, he won his ball, he did his job, and he came off.
Dead coming off.
He was dead coming off, but he had emptied the tank. And you know, what a warrior like Billy, and great to see him gracing Croke Park in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, 100%. And just the other one on that question was Paul Gainey and keeping him fit. Is it a case of Paul Gainey, Liam, can come on for Kerry with 10 or 15 minutes to go and start over a couple of points?
Yeah, look, I'd say Paul Gainey, look, they'll get a break after their Ireland campaign.
They won't back to the championship.
You won't see him back to the championship probably, yeah, and I think that injury will be well healed at that stage. And once Paul Gainey gets a bit of training under his belt again, just a natural footballer a natural scorer. The rules suit him down to the ground now as well. And can you imagine himself in a Paul Gainey in that form, injury free inside with David Clifford around the full forward line, whether it's for 10 minutes or 40 minutes? I wouldn't like to be the defenders.
No, definitely not. Will it be possible to listen back to the Mick O'Dwyer tribute programme for all of us who missed it? A happy new year to all of you at Radio Kerry, and thank you for all the enjoyment. That's from Brendan Falvey. I'll chat to the lads in the office here. Obviously, it was kind of a New Year's Day special, so it didn't kind of come under the Terrace Talk umbrella, but I'll definitely talk to the lads and maybe podcast it under the Terrace Talk section on the website. Just keep an eye out for that over the next couple of days. But most definitely, it was a nice programme on New Year's Day. At that, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back with the intermediate semi-final after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
And also, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and we're in the midst of our chat with Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy on the club semi-finals, of course, the weekend. We've dissected one half of West Kerry. We'll go to the other half now, lads, on Gaeltacht and Saddens. And again, if you thought we got the drama in the Dingle game, if you missed it earlier on in the day, it was something incredible. And once again, a two-pointer. We saw it happen, Dingle against Finbars in the Munster final, and Lightning struck twice when their counterparts Gaeltacht did it as well. But again, Liam, a fantastic, fascinating encounter. I know you were on commentary in Ballymac, but I'd say you were listening fair close to the headphones to what was going on in Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, and I suppose if there's going to be a statue for Paul Gainey in Dingle, I do think Aon O'Connor is going to be looking for something back around the Gaeltacht. But no better man to kick that kick, because if it was anybody else, John, we've seen him down through the years, he wasn't going to hand that over to anyone. And he would. And I suppose the one thing with it was, when the ball was brought forward, whether it was right or wrong with that rule, or who likes it or who doesn't like it, it was just inside the arc. So I suppose for the sake of bringing it back a couple of feet, he was better off going for a two-pointer. It was worth the risk.
Yeah,
it was worth the risk, because it was not as if he was bringing it out 10 or 15 feet. You know, it was just a couple of steps outside. So, and he went it, and he struck it beautifully. But I can imagine the chaos that was up there, because Gaeltacht, when we heard it above in Rackheel, the guys that were out injured, like missing Breen, you know, Cahill, Tomás O'Shea, all injuries. Aidan Welsh was walking wounded as well. Oh, they were under pressure against a very strong Salins team, because the guy that was above beside us, he was more of a Salins man. He was doing I think one of the newspapers for the Kildare, and he was saying Salins are strong.
And he said they were strong.
Yeah, he'd expect when he found out who was going to be missing from the Gaeltacht, he said he'd expect Salins to win it. But what a win for the panel on Gaeltacht. That was a panel win, if anything else.
Yeah. I'll talk about the two-pointer, John, first, actually. We'll work our way backwards here. Doesn't it take fair nerve? I mean, like, you're talking, it's the weight of the parish as opposed to the county, which I don't know is probably nearly heavier on your shoulders, to be totally honest. But, like, to be able to do that in like, you could bring it in, take your single point, bring in the game, you know, whatever, on to, if you wanted to go to penalties or whatever else, pure lottery. But, like, to decide to take the two-pointer, like, it just takes guts, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no question about it. And like Liam said, no better man than Aina, you know, and he mentioned the hurt when he got the red card going back against the Moy, I think, in the semi-final. And, you know, the minute I got the free, like I said to myself, the lads with me, I said, look, Aina's going to go for this. There was no such thing as going for the 1 point to go to penalties. Not a hope in the world. He was going to go for it. And, you know, look at the body language. He went at his laces, and he took his time, and he settled himself. There was no panic. No. All the time in the world.
Those little kind of team eating first inside was, the rotation, wasn't
exactly,
there?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I heard Fergal and Radio Kerry saying he went down the line. He didn't realise it was a two-pointer. He thought it was a draw. Until
he walked
away from it, like, you know. But you know, I was looking at their selectors, and we've talked about this throughout the year, about in Kerry, the quality people involved, Fergal Shea, Conall Crowley, Derek Kennedy, Aidan McGarrett, Padraig O'Connor. There's quality people in there, and you know, the injuries, and we heard beforehand who was out, and we said, yeah, you know, it has to be advantage Salons, but the will to win, and the determination for the parish, and the pride in that jersey, and you know, I know the likes of Liam O'Connor and those guys back there, they are so passionate about it. Mm. There was one thing in their mind to win. And the lads came on, you know, Cahill didn't do, he had to come back off again. Brian came on, wasn't right. Tomás Shea came on. But, you know, you look at the performances of Pádraig Óg, Aidan O'Begliach, Aidan Welch, I thought, was colossal in the middle of the field until he suffered that back injury.
Yeah.
He was absolutely outstanding. Winning ball, kind of orchestrating out there, and you could see him pointing guys to come and go left and right. Sean O'Garvey, who only came in because of the injuries, Rory Begliach, Keane O'Murcoon side of cornerback. These guys put their body on the line for the Gaeltacht, and it all finished up, look, with a superb score by Aina. But we'll have to go back to something that has created a lot of talk over the last number of days, is this breach. It's something that shouldn't happen. In Gaelic football, it shouldn't happen when you have officials on the line. It was quite obvious from the crowd shouting in that it was breached, and you know, that would have been a kickover score and the game over, Liam. Yep. And no extra time.
Yeah. And at this level, and yep, we've said it, John, how many times have we said it here? Yep. You know, when you're inside in stadiums, and when you're All-Ireland semi-finals and finals, with the technology we have, there should be no excuse.
There's no excuse for it. And, no. And you know, I heard Fergal O'Shea give a brilliant interview, and he just said, if it happened in back west, in South Kerry or up in North Kerry, there'd be a rack, he said, and there would be, in fairness, yeah, to quote him. End of story. Like, it shouldn't be happening. Gaelic won, great. Had they lost by a point,
different
story.
Yeah.
And there's too much effort and time going in for something like that. Now, there's a man on the line, he's looking, it's very simple. You know, we've been in Ossensteck Park in Killarney, Liam, and you can see when the breach is,
yeah,
they can see it as well. And it should be called, and it had to be called.
And to be fair, like, I know you can't get influenced by supporters, but there's such a roar goes up when the breaches. But you've all been to club games, that shout does come up. So even if you weren't looking and you hear it and you kind of look up, all of a sudden you're going to spot it, like. And you've got a fourth official in the big games, you've got two linesmen, you know, four umpires. You know, it should be seen. And to be fair, you know, at the start we were kind of making excuses for these things. We were kind of saying, look, people are getting used to the new rules, everything else, there's so much going on. But realistically, a year into the Northern Ireland semi-final in a ground that has Hawkeye and everything else,
yeah,
you know, why not use the technology that we have to spot it? Leo, I suppose those injuries at the start, you know, we often go to games and get a programme, and next thing you hear your man coming on and you're kind of crossing off players, but the players that were being crossed off for Gaeltacht, there must have been a serious sort of thought of this is not a great start to our afternoon.
And that's why we did think, like, that Gaeltacht were going to be under pressure here. But like, when you have the likes of Sean O'Garvey and these guys coming off the bench, Aidan O'Begliach there, number 7, was outstanding. You know, ball, the breaking ball, you know, the driving forward, he just kept them going. You know, and it just shows the whatever's back in the West, you know, this weekend, if we could bottle it, the heart, the determination, no matter where, if we're number 30 in the panel or number 1, it doesn't matter. Everyone was throwing everything at it, and that's the way the Gaeltacht were. They were walking wounded. Like, I think, did I hear it yesterday? I think it was a Joe or someone saying they were behind in the beach yesterday at 10 o'clock going into the water to see if they recover. Yeah. That's the only fear I have from now, all right, is that they have so many injuries, and it's only a week away from an All Ireland final.
And the extra 20 minutes as
and
well.
And you're going up to Croke Park, and Croke Park is an unforgiving field. You can't have an injury in Croke Park.
No.
Because it's such a big field, wide open field. You know, you'd be hoping that, touch wood, that they, in the next week, that they could have a couple of miracles really
of
and get
water,
themselves
maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
it the seawater out in Galarus? So. They might want the holy water.
But if they can do it, if anyone can do it, the Gaelic boys will do it. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's almost, I think clannish is very too strong of a word, but that kind of west awake, the western, you know, rising, is just so much kind of, you know, talk about South Kerry and kind of rural depopulation and everything. You look out, you know, Gaelic, you know, so far off the Dingle Peninsula from even here in Tralee or whatever. And I went to college out there for a couple of years and during the summer, you know, you're kind of far from everything. It's just the people out there are unbelievable. And you see the concertina was being played inside in the dressing room after. There are great people, proud of their roots, proud of their Irish language out there and everything else. And, you know, they put you to shame talking about them in English here tonight. But there is something about the Gaelic John and that sort of thing, that this kind of camaraderie that can kind of pull together and get the results. And I think we often talk about here how you used to hate going to Galarus to play a game because you knew you were up against it before you ever went out past Dingle.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Ivan. And, you know, great people back there, very passionate about their culture. You know, the Irish language, score, Gaelic football. You know, there's not much else back there, but I can tell you they're so proud. And, you know, the people involved. And, you know, I remember going back to the great Paddy Shea. You know, he'd drive you mental in the dressing room, so passionate. Mm-hmm. You'd be fit to go through the wall. You could see that coming through on the Gaelic the last day. And I thought that their defensive formation, the hand-in tackles, the flicking away, the blocking down, mm-hmm. and, you know, the physical power they had. It was incredible,
battle
really.
For every
they
ball,
never give
really,
up,
isn't
like,
it?
They never give yeah. up. You know.
And when you were on about that, you mentioned that man, Liam O'Rourke, like, I remember him. He was Philly's car coming from the Gaeltacht door for football, for Kerry trainings, and next thing he'd be out with West Kerry, and next thing he'd be with the Gaeltacht. You know, men like that who have a passion for football.
Yeah.
And I suppose from being down from Saw West as well and everything, their culture, their tradition, it's huge.
It is sort of clannish, isn't it? And I remember when we were younger playing football out there, we didn't understand the word they were saying to each other, which was a good tactic of theirs as well. We don't know huge about Glenullen. There's no point just going on saying that this, that, the other thing, but you're playing a Northern team, Liam. We know what that brings to the table. They scored 5-8 in their semi-final. Always going to be a tough task up against the Derry team, and this is where we really see the test of, a lot of people can say the Kerry junior team and the Kerry intermediate team are too strong and they shouldn't be in the competition or whatever else, but you get to Croke Park against a Northern team, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, that's what we've seen down through the years, and other teams that probably have toppled the Kerry teams at junior and intermediate have been the Northern teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look back in it, and I presume look this Glenullen team from Derry, if you look at the Derry teams, they're going to be big, strong, athletic men. You know, they're going to be able to score as well. They will be able to play football, but they will be physical.
Yeah.
No, so I think this is going to be another tough one for the Gaeltacht.
It's going to be a good battle. And yeah. as you mentioned, John, there, like, bodies are hurting today, as you can imagine, say, going for a dip in the ICC out in Galarus. But all jokes aside, 7-day turnaround after extra time, when you had so many kind of injuries coming into it already, it's not great. But if, as I said, if any team can pull this one off next weekend, you would give it to an Gaeltacht.
Yeah, definitely. And like we didn't mention Ronan O'Beglake, the fullback, who didn't start either.
Right,
Paul
yeah.
Sutherland came in for him. Mm-hmm. Franz Sutherland, Paul's their brother, captain. Is out with the cruciate, which their he suffered captain, yeah. for West Kerry. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you look at it, but, you know, I've no doubt with the people involved with them and that pride and the passion, you know, they leave no stone unturned. We were speaking there before the programme, Liam and myself, you know, Brian O'Beglake and Tomás O'Shea, they got game time into the legs. Carl, I think, you know, he won't be ready by what we saw because he had to go back off again. Hopefully everyone else is okay, and if they are, you know, they'll die in their feet, like,
yeah.
You know, there's no doubt. Derry, what you'd say is 5-8, you know, 8 points,
low scoring,
you
yeah.
need more than that. Will they get 5 goals against Gaelic?
Are they runners?
That's the question.
With that power down through the middle and stuff,
yes,
with five
yeah,
goals.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Gaeltacht before we finish up on them, and I said it here before, you know, the Sheas, the Big Leaks, the Canadas, the Carduffs. No, all these, the McGarrels, all these names, yeah, John, for years, yeah. and they're still there,
still
and that's
there,
yeah, it's fantastic.
No, it is great. It's great from a Kerry perspective as well to have all three in the All Ireland final. Just the last one I'm going to just next week, Liam, is playing the semi final in Páirc Uíomh. You know, weather is not great now. You can see at club grounds. We saw so many, you know, pre-season games getting called off the weekend. playing it on a really, really good kind of inter-county stadium pitch, that'll surely stand to them going to Croke Park, where the pitch is obviously going to be the best in the country. But that sort of stadium environment in Páirc Uí, it is kind of the next best thing we have in GA to Croke Park at the moment.
You
as well.
Hit the nail on the head, Ivan, because it's Cork really is a mini Croke Park.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So it should help Gaeltacht getting in there. Like I said, the stadium atmosphere, the pitch, the whole lot, the size, there won't be much of a difference size-wise either. Yeah. So, and like I said, the surface will be the best they'll have played in. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that will help them.
That'll help them along the way. Plenty of your texts coming in, and thanks a million for that, with calls as well. Well done to Dingle and Gaeltacht and Barry Mack. Dingle are mentality monsters, as a certain Jurgen Klopp would say. They never know when they're beaten. Happy New Year. That's from Charles. Thanks indeed for that. We've got a long read here from our friend Sean De Bruyne in Fieries. Congratulations is due to all three Kerry clubs on reaching the respective All-Irelands. Páirc Uí proved provide a real drama, and very easily there could have been a different tale to tell. Firstly, one wonders how long more we'll have to wait before the GAA employs a judicious use of technology. There must be something wrong when the television viewers can see the replay of an incident within seconds of it happening, and this is not available to the referee. See how rugby uses technology, and this assists the referee rather than undermining the referee. Secondly, it is unfortunate that Ballymac and Angueldt have to play the final 1 week after the semi-final. I'm going to come in on that one actually, John, with the replay idea. We do see that in rugby. A lot of people say it slows down the game, but the decision is made right and it goes to a video referee. And if there is a game televised, can we not kind of get to that stage of where, I think it works perfectly in rugby, it nearly adds to the atmosphere. It's something that could definitely be looked at, especially on televised games.
I'd agree with that, man. Ivan, being honest with you, I think that there's too much time and effort and commitment going in for
and money now
to lose a game on the technicality. And, you know, It's we shouldn't be really dwelling in it here tonight, because what the plus about this weekend was three fantastic victories. But we said it previously, is if Gaeltacht had lost by a point, that's unforgivable. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And I don't care where they're from or what they are, there's plenty of guys around. Liam and myself have said it several times. We are at different stages around the country. The guys there, they're trying to get subs off the line, they're trying to get managers into their box, but they can't see the breach. And that's not being negative now. I think you focus on the game. There's a breach, it's quite evident and it's quite visible, and it's punished by taking it into the 21-metre line and kicking it over the bar. Very simple.
Well, not only the breach, Ivan, but I think that for penalty decisions, for all big game-changing decisions, there should be a case of we're looking at this on TV.
Yeah,
because we go to all the games now, John. Between Clubber, between TG Cahar, between RT, most games are being recorded.
Yeah,
and there's a TV screen there. It wouldn't take 30 seconds. It would add to the atmosphere as well.
Yeah, well, even bring it into the intercounty game maybe, and then see what you can do with the club games as they go
the
further
right.
into the thing. Get the decisions right. Yeah. Exactly.
And to be fair,
Ivan,
we'd have to say that the rules have actually change Gaelic football
completely. Yeah.
Completely, we have to say that.
Yeah.
We're not being, but you need to tweak it. And I think the other one that has to be looked at is that when there's a foul, are you going to hand the ball to the guy? If the guy runs that, if Liam fouls me and if I run at him with the ball, is it taken up 50 metres then because of that?
Yeah,
how could he get out of my
harsh.
Way? It's very
harsh,
difficult to call it.
I think they will look at that one.
What's intentional and what's not intentional? But I think apart from those, the rules, they have refreshed Gaelic football and they're brilliant.
I see a good tweet actually over the weekend as that Jim Gavin must be kicking himself because it's worked in Kerry's favour more than any other county.
Anyone that can play football now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A hardy 2 weeks and two assists. Best wishes and happy new year to all our cousins and friends in Kerry and out in the Bear Peninsula. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks a million for that. Caller Eileen wants to know why the Dingle goal was disallowed. This was the first one. It's divided opinion online. Kind of gather possession with a hop, then hop the second time, and in fairness buried it, to be fair to him. But again, kind of a harsh one interpretation of the rules. Was it a double hop?
I think it was harsh because I think the second hop was out of control. you know, he didn't deliberately, you know, hop the second one. Him, you know, when he was going through, and he kind of lost control of it, and it hopped, it hopped. So I thought it was harsh. To be fair,
Thankfully, it didn't come back on us as well. Yeah. Colin John says it's such a pity. It's such a quick turnaround. How will they manage the injuries? It's too soon to be playing a final after such a tough match. And yeah, we touched on that a little earlier on, and we'll talk about that a little bit more after we take the next break, because we'll be moving on to Ballymac's win over Grange Nolven of County Kildare.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Now, lastly, but no means least, our junior champions Ballymacadigan into the All-Ireland final as well. 2-13-16 point win over Grange Nolven. Liam, you were on commentary duty for us for this one, and I think a lot of people, to be fair, going into the game had highly predicted Ballymac to, I wouldn't say walk through it now, but they were strong favourites. They didn't have it all their own way.
They didn't. We didn't have the excitement that they had above in Cork for the two matches. But with 5 minutes to go, Grange brought it back to a point.
Yeah.
No. So it was a hard fought victory for Ballymac. Different to a lot of the games that we've seen them all through the year. They really had to dig this one out. Even though after the first two, 3.5 minutes, they bulged the net twice. No, a minute and a half into the match, Niall Collins hit the back of the net, and then 2 minutes later, Adam Sheehy hit the back of the net. You know, so it was you'll be thinking then they were going to drive on, but that Adam Sheehy's goal actually was a class goal, because he was going through soloing and it was dispossessed out of his hands, and it kind of bounced lovely, and he put the leg to it, and it top corner. If you saw it in the Premiership, they'd be roaring about it.
Yeah,
but it gave Ballymac that kind of that comfortable lead. They went up to 7 points then, and you know, throughout the match it kind of it ebbed and flowed a small bit, but there was always that 4 or 5 points in it, which and it's a dangerous lead, as we said earlier with the new rules now. The Grange had the Bergen brothers, no, very good. I suppose the one thing there was Fionn Bergen, he kicked 9 points. He went off injured with about 5 minutes to go, you know, and he was a huge loss to him, because they got two pointer freeze towards the end, and he was gone off the field, and you know, they put it on the ground for the first one and he drove it wide, and the second one they just lobbed it into the thing, whereas if he was there and he put it over the bar, brought it to a point, you don't know what kind of mayhem could happen. So he was a loss when they went off. The one thing with Ballymac for me was that every time they moved the ball out of defence at speed, they caused trouble, and that's the thing we saw all year, John, with Ballymac. You know, they have pace, the likes of Martin McGivigan, Jack Joy, you know, Niall Collins, Donald Dolly, and Dara Keane inside in the full forward line, and that's something they have to look at going into next weekend, because if it seems to me when they slow it down and go lateral or go back, defences are getting back, it's harder to break them down then.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if they can get the ball up into space, and especially above in Croke Park, because it's made for lively forwards, you know, they'll make hay. But the last day, it kind of, in the second half, it suited Grange, because Grange were getting bodies back. Ballymac were trying to hold on and mind the ball. But you're playing a kind of a dangerous game then, because you're never really pulling away from the team you're playing against.
Yeah.
And it kept Grange in the match.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. John, Ballymac are young and they're quick and they're fast and everything else. That'll be a good standpoint to them going to an All-Ireland final as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Ivan. And, you know, this is the pity about it is that if they had the game in Páirc Cliath, it's a different pitch, it's a different surface. But look, it's an All-Ireland final. The pitch won't matter. It's about winning it now for Ballymac. Like Liam said, they weren't firing on all cylinders at the weekend, but they won.
Mm-hmm.
And Liam Blake and the lads, a bit of work to do. You know, nobody will get carried away with it. And, you know, they're where they want to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'd agree with Liam. I think they have the pace, getting first-time ball, and the likes of McGivigan, looking Dara Keane and Adam Sheehy, Jack Joy, those guys, they get it in space, they will hurt the defence. And around the middle, then Dara Burgic and Aidan Breen was very influential the last day.
Yeah.
You know, got a score, was involved in one or two scores that they got. And I suppose the other positive thing is, when it came to a point, they kicked 3 points in a row from Keane, McGivigan and Daly.
And them three scores, John, came from Aidan Breen, one middle of the field, and Dan Shea. another two wide. Dan's men brought him out, and I spotted it, brought his men out on the middle of the field, and Ballymac were under pressure winning the kick out, and Dan broke one or two of the kick outs, and Ballymac picked it up, and Marty McGivigan kicked 1 point. You know, so it was the two elder statesmen really that got him over the line, which you'd expect when we're under pressure. You want your main fellas to step up to the plate.
Is it important, Liam, that Ballymac kind of had a game where it could have gone either way towards the end? If they, you know, went into the Ireland final next weekend after maybe an 8-10 point victory,
no good.
Was that probably the best test they could have asked for, really?
It was, definitely, because you can go into the dressing rooms this week, Ian Blake and his management team, and they can pinpoint all the things that they did wrong, and all the things they need to do to get over the line against this Tyrone team as well that they're going to be meeting. Look, they have the weapons there, but it's just to get it right. And like, this was a game where above in Rackheel, a cold winter January, it wasn't, I suppose, going to be conducive for lovely football, but they had to dig deep. And they did, to be fair, in the second half. The one thing in the first half, all right, they were giving away a lot of silly frees. I think out of the 9 points, Grange kicked 7 from frees. But they cleaned up that in the second half, Ballymac. They were fouling, but they were fouling them away from goals in proper positions. I suppose, was it over in Zublin's or excitement in the first half? But like, that you got to watch that. You can't be giving away silly frees. And I think that's one thing they will definitely learn. In the second half, they were way more, hands in, hands out. They were getting bodies in front of people. They were getting bodies back. They were a lot better in the second half. So that's, but definitely, I think this game will, and we said it after, there's a couple of supporters, it will stand them, because like you said, if they had ran away with the game the weekend, they'd be heading up to Croke Park and it would be a different mindset, whereas now they know they have work to do.
They needed that, Liam, didn't they? Really?
John, again, can't say we know a huge amount about Clohero. They're again Tyrone Northern side, beat Kiltima of Mayo, the kind of champions, in the semi-final. Again, kind of going into the unknown, but as you said, the only thing we know about a Northern teams are going to be good, physical, potentially trying to keep the scoring as low as possible. A good challenge for Ballymac.
Yeah, good challenge. 2-13 to 9 points they won. And we'd be expecting a physical, in-your-face kind of game from the Tyrone champions. They got that to a certain extent the last day, Liam, because Grant Cullen, they were all over them. They were putting them under pressure, and I think that'll stand to them. Because, like we said, if they had won 10 or 12 points, you learn a lot more from a tight, close game. And it is about composure, it is about getting your leaders on the ball, and it is about taking the chances when they're given to you. Because, we saw in the other two games at different stages, when the teams were in the ascendancy, missed chances, they can cost you. So, from a Ballymac point of view, I think they're going in an ideal situation. Maybe the expectation from the fans, is maybe a small little bit stifled now because of that, and they'll be saying to themselves, look, we're coming up against the Tyrone team, reality will strike, and there's less pressure on, I think. But look, what a day for Ballymac again. Isn't it brilliant to be in Croke Park? And a lot of stuff behind the scenes, like, it's great for Ian Blake, one of the nice guys in the football, and for the likes of Tony Sills, Gene O'Keefe, who gave his life to Ballymac. Isn't it brilliant to see those lads getting out in Croke Park?
We've a lot to be thankful for, our own Sean Kelly as well, Liam, in introducing this All-Ireland series for the junior and the intermediate. It was under his presidency we saw it come in, and you're kind of looking and saying, like, it gives the chance for Lice, your Barry McElligott, your Ungaelted from Kerry. Like, we've been blessed with it, and totally 100% and understandable. Teams are strong, whatever you want to say. But the day is out for those parishes, and the memories that they could be made, and so far have made, through Munster and into getting to an All-Ireland final. But to go on and win that in Croke Park for Barry McElligott, Gaelted, and of course Tingle as well. That's what it's done for kind of that club game and that kind of push to get out of your county, and all of a sudden the season isn't over, and played in wet pitches throughout the winter. There's something about it, isn't it? And that kind of that pride of the parish game we talked about with Gaelic, same now for Ballymac, and to go on maybe and potentially win an All-Ireland for your club, it's fantastic.
It has, Ivan. It has transformed the competitions, really, in Kerry. I can remember back in times when the intermediates and the juniors, right, they were a county medal, but that was it. To know that the senior club was the only way you could get out of your county and go into Munster, and there was only a very select few clubs that could do that, bar the Millennium Cup that time, where we all thought we'd get a chance to do it. But this is fantastic, because look, There's only a handful, or I won't say a handful, there's only a select amount of people that can play with their county and play in Croke Park in big games like this. But this gives your ordinary club footballer the opportunity to tug out above in the dressing rooms, the same dressing rooms that all the greats have tugged out, and run out into Croke Park.
Yeah.
You know, and the supporters to be above with your own colours on you, your club colours that you've worn probably since you were 8 years of age, and you're above in Croke Park cheering on our team. It's fantastic. You know, and like John mentioned there, the likes of Gene Keefe, you know, Ian Blake, Tony Sills, for what they have gone through, that family. Yep. You know, it's unbelievable, and I think it's fantastic. And that's why I'd love to see Ballymac get over the line, and I think they will, because like I said, they have the weapons to do it, and all they have to do is just polish a few things up and maybe just get the attitude right, and it'll take a very good team to beat Ballymac, because we've seen it down through the years. Yep. They're top of Division 1 in county leagues for a couple of years, so they're well able to battle with the senior clubs down here. So if they can get their attitude right, like I said, it'll take a good team to get them over them next
day. I think we said here a few weeks ago, Ivan, you know, the quality and the level of football we're playing at here in Kerry. You know, people from other provinces can give out and say about, you know, the different levels we have, but it's the quality. We'll talk about it later on in our predictions. How do you pick a team? You get to the semi-final of Junior, Premier, Intermediate and Senior. So difficult to pick the winner.
Yeah.
You know, the quality, the preparation, and that's why that when they get there, you know, they're on a different level because they're playing that competitive football.
Mm.
But look, to agree with Liam, I think all three clubs, the younger generation, they're coming up, they're going to Croke Park following their team. This is a dream. You know, is life going to be like this forever? They haven't seen anything else.
Yeah.
But think of the older generation that have given their life.
Ballymac now, the likes of Tom Donoghue.
Absolutely.
You know, these guys who have given their life
to football.
This is the moment for them as
this
well.
This is their moment,
Croke Park.
Yeah,
and that's exactly it. And hopefully, as I said, we can get over the line. You mentioned Gene O'Keefe there, Liam. We actually have a text in. Just wondering, Gene and Josh O'Keefe from Ballymac, will they be the only father and son to win a county, Munster and hopefully an All-Ireland medal next weekend? Gene won an All-Ireland minor in 1994. Best of luck to all. Kerry team, that's from Tom Lyons and Ballymac.
Good question. We'd have to look back at the books for the Christmas quiz next year. And to see the thing about it, there's so many clubs that have won All-Irelands. We'd have to look back at it.
Yeah.
But that'll be a nice tribble for them now if they get it.
Yeah, we good fun for trivia pursuit. It's another one then. It was asked during the week, all three Kerry clubs won the All-Ireland the same year? The answer is no. Last time the three clubs were in the All-Ireland was 2019. I think Crokes were beaten in the senior final. The intermediate and junior won. I think there was another one, was it 2014 as well? So no, we're still waiting for the 100% record for all three clubs. It would be great, wouldn't it?
Isn't it incredible for Kerry football, Ivan, you know, at the three levels, to see three teams, three clubs going to Croke Park, All-Ireland champions, we've clean sweep at senior inter-county level, and what a boost is for football, and what a boost is for the Kerry County Board and for the people involved, the games people that are putting out their games programme.
Yeah.
What a boost it is. And that's a recognition of we must be doing something right, you know, and of the time they put in to see these teams coming through, sailing through Munster, getting to an All-Ireland final, and it has to be good for Jack O'Connor going forward, because we've spoken about the amount of players that have put their hand up to be considered. We're not saying to get on, but to be considered.
And the new rules as well, John, have suited the natural suited footballer that we have in Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. No? Yeah. Lads, we have to go for a break at 7 o'clock, but we're going to keep in your chairs. We might talk McGrath football, and you're going to give us your predictions for 2026 as well. And we'll be chatting the Munster Hurling League course as well with James Ristard. That's all coming up after 7 o'clock on Terrace Talk. You can get your views into us at 083 300 3300.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Rightio, you're welcome back to the second hour of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. The lads have stayed in studio because the Kerry footballers, weather depending potentially tomorrow, although it does look like it might get a touch warmer, if you want to say that. It won't be, I don't think warm is the right word to be using, but play on a 4G pitch, of course, tomorrow in Clare Castle. Kerry against Clare in the opening round of the McGrath Cup, and Kerry welcoming Waterford to Dr. Crokes Park in Clarny on Sunday. I suppose that's always a hard one to call. Look, first of all, I'm for the pre-season competitions, despite what we saw over the weekend, but it does get you a chance to get out, put on the woolly hat and see what Jack O'Connor is looking at and what players he might be looking at as well, Liam.
Yeah, I think the pre-season competitions are vital for us now, Ivan, because it's a way of looking at players coming in. We saw what we have on the panel last year for the county, but it gives an opportunity for the likes of Eddie Healy, Killian Trent, you know, Thomas Kennedy and Rory Murphy, who were on the verge of the squad last year, you know, to show the supporters and probably show the management to know that there's something in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the likes of Tomás O'Donnell and these fellas, Tomás from Castle Gregory, you know, Darragh O'Connor, and you know, to be fair to Jack, in the last two challenge matches with Kildare and the Tipperary, yeah. You know, a lot of young guys given a chance to wear the green and gold jersey, you know, so he's, as I say, he's casting the net far and wide, and there's a lot of names there that we have mentioned out throughout the year that have popped their head above the pulpit, and they're getting a chance now.
Yeah, that is important, John, as well. It's kind of, if you win the McGrath Cup or not, I don't think it's a huge thing at the end of the season, but you know, so early in the year, it's getting to see those players and what you can see Kerry can do early stages before the league starts up.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are probably on programmes and stuff, Ivan. It's good to get out and get games, and you know, adding to that what Liam said there, the likes of Armin Heinrich now started against Kildare,
yeah.
You know, did very well for the Stacks, you know, that this is a big one for him. And I think for the newer guys coming in, it's a taste of inter-county at senior level before the league, and then, you know, they'll be integrated in during the league. He'll probably, you know, knowing Jack O'Connor, he'll want to win all competitions, and he'll be building up that panel again, making that competition even more keen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be vital, because, as Liam said, we saw when the injuries occurred during the year, the guys came in, it was seamless.
Yep.
They took on the responsibility, and they performed. So they have a role to play, these pre-season competitions, and we won't feel it till the end of January when the National League will kick off.
And you see, Ivan, the thing with the league is that, right, you can't throw 10 or 12 new fellas into the league.
You're kind of under pressure.
No, you're under pressure.
Yeah.
So because the league is so competitive now, like you'll try a couple of fellas in game one and game two, and depending how you get on, then if you lose a match or lose it starts getting kind of, because everyone wants to stay in Division One.
Yes,
and like
said, thing,
we
yeah.
saw the games last year, it gets very competitive. And like, you look at Jack's record, when Jack wins the Sam Maguire, he wins the league, and I can see Jack going, no,
yeah.
You're going fairly hot for Division One now again this year.
And yeah. Like the league, like we saw last year in the league, that going into the last game, there was a threat of relegation.
There was, yeah.
But there was also the thing that you could get to the final.
We did get into the final.
Yeah. And like when we get to finals and get to Croke Park, you know, very difficult to beat.
Yeah, you see, even that we mentioned that Tyrone game, you know, and the build up, and I actually listened back to the repeat show. We mentioned a couple of times the homecoming, that kind of night against Tyrone, or that afternoon against Tyrone, and got moved around all sort of areas in Pomeroy in the end. But yeah, like, look, I'm very disappointed to hear what came out of Leinster as the weekend, and obviously, look, it's challenging with weather and totally get it, but deciding games on a coin toss, like, we fought hard to get these pre-season competitions back, lost them last year when we probably could have done with them more than ever, because we had new rules and everything else. No one kind of had a clue until we got into the league game. Then Kerry's first league game got cancelled. You know, it felt like we really missed the McGrath Cup last year, and now you're looking this year, and to decide games on a coin toss in Leinster. Westmeath put out a ridiculous statement today about the Kilkenny hurlers and their decision not to play on the pitch. Like, we can't really afford, I don't think we can afford to lose these pre-season competitions now. They add to the games, they add to that kind of roster, and you know, the chance to wear a Kerry jersey, whatever you want to say it is, you know, to see them decided by a coin toss thing is lunacy by Leinster GAA and into the O'Byrne Cup and into the Walsh Cup as well in the hurling.
Yeah, and I think if they go coin tosses and stuff like that, you might as well forget about it altogether, because that's only belittling the competition completely.
Yeah.
No, they'd be better off if they talked out one player from each side with the two goalkeepers and took penalties.
Penalties, yeah.
Did something instead of a time cost, like.
Yeah.
No, but it made no sense.
But it's as ridiculous as it sounds, right? Longford, none in 2025. Longford won in 2024. Huge huge, like absolutely huge for Longford were part of our quiz as a team that's never won a provincial title. You know, early season, I know, but for them as a county, you know, it's massive. Like, and you're kind of looking to say they're out of the competition now. They can't win the O'Byrne Cup in Leinster because they lost on a coin toss.
Yeah, and realistically, this McGrath Cup, and like we said, it's the only way we can see players, the newer players.
Yeah. Right?
Like I said, you are not going to be starting 10 or 12 new players in the first game of the county, of the National League. That won't happen. Whereas with the McGrath Cup, because when we lost, I thought the Kerry Junior, the All-Ireland Junior, the Kerry Juniors, was a massive loss for Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That was nearly your second team. Mm-hmm. And you were able to see fellas that were, you know, that, from year to year, were they good enough for senior? And we had a lot of Kerry Juniors that went on. And this is our competition now, that we can see all these young guys. And plus, it's keeping young guys interested.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to lose them. No. So if you can, guys, and they know they can get a couple of games in the McGrath Cup or a couple of challenge matches, and they're inside a development training squad, you know, it keeps them there anyway.
If you hadn't, Liam, there'd be challenge games.
But the McGrath Cup opens it up to us, John, doesn't it? Yeah. We're allowed to go in now. Yeah, we pay our 10 or 15 euro or whatever. You drive up to Clare. We get to see like challenge games happen. Right. You don't even know. Kerry probably played numerous challenge games, but you'll never be told about. So it does open up to the public as well. But the idea of the coin toss again, lads, and I don't want to dwell on it, but you lose the match. Like, I mean, you lose the 60 minutes. That's the most important thing. They're only played over the 60 minutes. Like, that's 60 minutes of running that those teams now have lost because they can't refix them for midweek because they're saying there's no viable option for. There are plenty of viable options for these games to be on. We see loads of games on this midweek as well, next weekend, the following weekend. Madness.
And with all the pitches and the 3Gs and 4Gs and 5G, whatever, all the Gs we have, that they couldn't get a pitch in Leinster to play these matches. And like that, it's 16 minutes of a young player, you know, that could have had a chance wearing a county jersey, and show what he was made of.
But like I saw Derek Ling in a sabbatical last night, is that they have a lot of work done in the gym. It is great to get out and start a bit of hurling, competitive hurling, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it's mind-boggling to say that you will toss a coin at this day and age.
Yeah, there's four football games decided by the coin toss. I think there's three or four hurling as well. No, very disappointing to see. And again, it only adds to the potential of the GAA say, no, we definitely will scrap them. And then we miss out on the likes of McGrath Cup and everything else. Not going to ask you for predictions for a Kerry against Clare, Liam, but roughly what do you want to see from Kerry? Do you want to see a result? Do you want to see who played, how long they played for? What are we looking out for this week?
Yeah, I'm looking out for all the matches. You know, the likes of the guys that I mentioned, the Eddie Healy's, what can they offer? Mm-hmm. You know, we know the Paul Ganey's and the David Clifford's and all these, but like, can we pull the likes of Eddie Healy, you know, the Tomás Kennedy's and these guys, can they offer something when pulled off the bench for Kerry? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I think that's this is where you'll see this. You'll say, yeah, that fella can offer something.
Yeah. And like we've said it before, Ivan, these guys have been in for a 12 months of training.
Yeah.
You know, they are gone above the level of the newer guys coming in.
Yeah.
So the next step now is to either make that 26 or make the 15 or not make it.
Or not make
one
it,
or the other. And then you have the likes of Michael Tansley, looking Paddy Lane and these guys, with the fellas Liam has already mentioned. This is an opportunity to pull on a Kerry senior jersey. We know what they can do at senior club level, no question. We've seen it underage in Kerry. So this is the one. You're going up to Clare, All-Ireland champions going up to 6 Mile Bridge, they'll be a bit of biting it.
Yeah.
Clare had a good win against Waterford. So, you know, it's competitive.
Yeah.
And you'll learn a bit from it.
And we've seen in the past how serious Jack O'Connor does take it. Remember those Sigerson players? Was at Tipperary a couple of years ago, brought them up, you're playing. So,
Paul Ganey played that night above in Tipperary,
it's great to see it being taken seriously. Lads, we go to a break and we won't ask you your prediction for McGrath Cup winner. I won't actually. What we'll do is we'll do the predictions of the summer competitions, if you want to call it that, and a bit of fun. We put them all into an envelope and we look back on them at the end of the year and see how bad we all were at predicting these. We'll take a break on Terrace Talk this evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Dun, dun, dun. Now it's nearly back to the Christmas quiz. It's like the 2 weeks we can be hyper in the year, but this is always a fun one. Our 2026 predictions, if anyone at home wants to write these down and put them into a little shoebox something and send them in later on in the year, absolutely, you can play along at home as well. So we start from the top, lads, and the biggest one of all, Sam Maguire winner in 2026.
We're going for the double, Ivan. I have Kerry
as well, yeah.
Kerry as well, so she's will be.
No pressure, lads.
Lick your wounds in December. Talton Cup winner.
I'm going with Westmeath.
I'm going with Sligo.
I went for Sligo as well, John, would you believe it? Tally Cup's a hard one to pick, Ducks. You don't know exactly who's going to be in it. Munster winner.
I went with Kerry, yeah.
Yeah, Kerry as well. Leinster.
I'm going with Dublin.
Dublin, yeah.
I went for Meath. I said I'd be a bit bold. Connacht winner.
Mayo.
I'm going with Galway.
I went for Galway as well. We're giving Sligo the Tailteann Cup. We're not giving, we're not giving Munster, which makes sense in Connacht, really, because they wouldn't be able to play in the Tailteann Cup if they won it. Ulster winner.
I'm going to go with Armagh. I think they're due one.
I'm going with Armagh too.
Yeah, Armagh definitely due, and also in for Armagh as well. Division 1 Football League winner.
I'm going for Kerry as well, because I think Kerry are going to go full force for everything this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm going with Kerry as well.
I said Donegal, so it might come back to haunt me. Ladies All-Ireland winner.
I'm going to go with Dublin.
Yeah,
I'll go with Dublin too.
Like a serious Dublin, team, yeah.
And Niamh not happy with that one.
Niamh, I heard the roar in sight.
Ladies Division 1.
I'm going with Kerry, Niamh, right?
Yeah, I went for Kerry for the league as well.
I'm going with Galway.
Galway for the league. No Kerry at all for the ladies, so John, this year, we'll say more. Niamh is just...
Wouldn't mind seeing a Kerry-Dublin All-Ireland final next year then, and would never know then.
You'd never know, yeah.
League champions, Kerry versus...
The best thing about this, Niamh, is that we usually get the predictions wrong. So, I mean, if that's any consolation...
90% of the time.
90% of the time, we're not right. Right, lads, into the very hard ones to predict. The county football champions.
I think the Crokes will be back.
I'm going Dr. Crokes as well.
Dr. Crokes written down as well. Senior club.
I'm going Dr. Crokes as well.
I am as well, yeah.
Oh, I said Aston Stacks.
Oh.
Intermediate.
I'm going, that's a tough enough one now, because Kilcommon, Beaufort, Fuss, Glenfleth now with their new management team, but I'm just going to throw my hat on Beaufort.
I will lose well, Beaufort.
I wrote Beaufort.
Yeah.
Well, there's no pressure on the mid-carry side anyway. Junior Premier.
Another tough one.
Yeah,
hard one to call it, isn't it?
Keel, I saw Listroy now this year, decent, Artford, Sinnens, but I'm going to go with Keel.
I'm going to go with Listroy.
I said Listroy as well, John. Jeez,
not a bad call, lads.
They were very close this
year. Not a bad call.
And the junior.
I'm going to go with my neighbours, Cordell.
And I'm going to go with my neighbours, Bale.
And I went with Knocknagossal after the run in the North Kerry Championship. Liam McCarthy winners.
I'm going to go with Cork, our neighbours.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go with Limerick. I think John Kiley will get a kick out of him this year.
I said Tipperary to do two in a row. Munster Hurling Champions.
I'm going with Tipperary.
With a tip as well for the Munster Hurling.
And for Cork. They always seem to do it with Munster, but fall apart for the All-Ireland. Leinster.
Leinster, Kilkenny.
Kilkenny, yeah.
Kilkenny and Galway don't seem to be up to a huge amount as well going into next year. And the County Hurling Champions, lads.
I'm going for Abbey Dorney to go three in a row.
Abbey Dorney.
I say Abbey Dorney as well. Now, these are the real interesting ones. Premier League winners.
Arsenal.
I'd like to say Liverpool, but Arsenal, I think.
Arsenal. I went for Man City and I don't think I could climb up under a rock if Arsenal win it for a few weeks. Champions League winners.
I think PSG, if they can get things going, have done it.
A really good Champions League last year, won the final
PSG
5-0.
As well. Yeah.
I said Real Madrid for that one. World Cup winners, as of course, we're heading into a World Cup year now as well, which is great in the summer. USA, Canada and Mexico hosting. Are we staying that side of the world, or is a European team going to take it, Liam?
I think Argentina are very, very attractive at the moment, but no, I have a thing about Spain. I think Spain, I'm going to go with Spain.
It sounds ridiculous, but for Spain standards, go outside the box.
France, Ivan.
France. Oh, we're both in European. I said Argentina. Very hard to retain a World
back
Cup, but again, the climate and where they are, I think Argentina will have a great shot of it. No one said England.
No.
Football's not coming home, according to our lads here. Simple yes or no question. Will Ireland qualify for the World Cup?
No, unfortunately, I don't think so, Ivan.
Yeah, they have a tough path, to be fair. And the injuries to Josh Cullen and Adam Eda, both injured over the last 2 weeks as well. Two big losses. Right, soccer back at home. Where will Kerry FC finish in the first division?
I'm going to go fifth and about 48 points.
48 points. I should have said the points as well.
I'm going to go to the playoff now. I'm not saying the points, but I think...
Yeah, it's grand. It's a second to fifth. I said the playoffs as well. I think the predictions have gotten closer and closer with Kerry FC over the last couple of years.
So, Ivan, you got 33 points last year and going for 48. Is that doable?
I think so. Well, I technically got 36 last year.
This is the one that got you a technicality, we got extra points in that.
When you think about it, 36, that's just three more wins. I mean, you think about the season as it was. Obviously, the FAI Cup run into the semi-final, probably distracted a small bit from the league as well. So, yeah, definitely. A couple of new boys coming into Mount Hall Park as well. Of course, Kerry, talked about Kerry GA playing tomorrow night. Kerry OC are playing tomorrow night as well in the first pre-season game. Premier Division winners, I think there could only be one here.
Really, Rovers.
Rovers. FAI Cup winners, will they do the double?
I think they'll do the double again.
Double. I went for Derry for the FAI Cup. Hard to compete in all fronts, and to be fair to Shamrock Rovers this year, their European campaign wasn't fantastic given their run in the cup. 2026 Super Bowl champions. We're getting there now, Liam, aren't we?
We're getting there now, all right, yeah. I'm going to go with my beloved 49ers. I think Brooke Purdy MVP, but I suppose the Rams and Denver are seems to be the slightly ahead of everybody else at the moment, yeah.
I'm going to go with the Broncos, all right, no?
Broncos. I went for my Patriots. I always had a grow for the Patriots when I was younger for some reason. Will there be an Irish winner of a golf major?
If there is, it'll probably be McIlroy.
McIlroy. Will there or won't there be?
I think there will. I think McIlroy, the way he's playing, I think he'll
take a major home next year.
He'll take a major, yeah.
I'd love to see Shane Lowry, you know, but I think McIlroy is the one to win if it's to be won.
Yeah. Yes or no, will there be one?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Irish winner, and I said yes as well, and that answers my next question. Masters winner,
I'm going to go Scotty Scheffler.
John Kennedy,
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Scotty Scheffler is going to dominate. Well, I said Shane Lowry is going to win the green jacket.
Wouldn't
because
you love to see Shane Lowry win it?
Yeah. You know, it was funny enough, Liam, actually, there was actually an interview recently, I think it was over Christmas. I think RT might have had I think it was Sky Sports actually had a sit down with Shane Lowry, and they were talking about the Ryder Cup and obviously the success of it, and they said something about his comments around the time of the Masters, because he was kind of up there as well. Yeah. And someone asked him at the time, Joe, would you like to see Rory McIlroy win or whatever? And he said, I can still win this thing too or whatever. And it kind of came to him like that. And he said, now that McIlroy won it, he was so happy for him. But the next thing he wants is Rory McIlroy putting the green jacket over his shoulders in Augusta. And I just think,
wouldn't it be nice?
There's just something with the Irish and the golf and the Masters and everything else that just seems to work. Yeah, John, it's an interesting sporting year ahead. Like, you obviously have all your usual bits and pieces, and then you've got kind of that World Cup excitement on top of it. Should be a good sporting year in front of us, I think.
I've no doubt about it, Ivan. It will be, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things to look forward to. You know, World Cup, as you say, will Ireland qualify? Wouldn't it be great if they did? You know, a few fellas said to me lately, if the playoffs were played 2 weeks after,
the buzz was there.
They were on a run. But when you lull and the injuries and we don't have the squad, but look, hopefully they will. You know, look at in the rugby scene, Ireland had their drop down in the pecking order in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to get newer players, I think. The Prendergast and those guys, Jack Crowley, are they going to do the business? It's an important year, you know, especially with a World Cup down the road, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably have a good week in Cheltenham as well in March. And it always is exciting this time of year, Liam, because, you know, we kind of do listen to the reviews of the year, the last kind of week or two on television and on the radio and everything else. But I find January is kind of that month where it's just a bit long, but obviously we've got our club teams, which is great, that kept us going for the first 2 weeks now. And then we'll have the league starting up the end of the month. So, like, all of a sudden we're kind of into that sporting fix that we enjoy. And as John mentioned, the Six Nations starts up then. Ireland are in those qualifiers in March. Next thing you're into Munster final now and the Maybank holiday, and sport has an amazing way of kind of bringing us through a year and what we can look forward to and what's on next week or in 2 weeks time or whatever else. And we're all interested in all fronts, American football, be it snooker, football, hurling, you know, we're just surrounded by sport. And it is always a positive I take in January on these kind of dark, cold evenings that, you know, there's always something on the weekend that you look forward to watching or going to.
It is, and we always hear about the big stuff and stuff like that. But even the night I went home after our Christmas quiz, you know, when you asked me what was my sporting highlight of the year, and it never came into my head, was my daughter winning the two rowing All-Irelands.
There you go.
No, so you have small things like that. And they're not small things. No, you have the rowing out there, you have the darts, you have the club football starting, you know, whether it's under 12s or whether it's senior level. There's so much sport, and it's great that I think especially youngsters that they get out and they keep involved in sport, because the world is a mad spot, is a mad place now.
Regardless of the sport,
yeah. Regardless of the sport.
I think as well, Ivan, is in adversity, sport is brilliant, because, you know, people have sad times and, you know, they lose people and all that. Clubs and areas and the sport brings people together. Whether it be soccer or rugby, football or hurling, canoeing, whatever it is, it's there. And it's very, very important. And there's an identity with it.
And you can have a conversation and it's...
100% Leo, I actually think you hit the nail on the head. And I think, you know, there's so many great ladies sports and everything else. But when you think about men's mental health, like, it's hugely important that you do get out to the match, or, you know, you watch the match and tell your... Talk to someone about what you thought about the match. Yeah. But we talk here every Monday night about different matches and everything else, and we give our views and everything else, but it's just kind of like it's natural to us. And you know, Terrace Talk's the name of the programme. People talk in the terraces and you can hear it at matches and talk about different things. It's great for the health. And if you're not playing the football, go to watch the football, or, you know, go watch the motor rally, or go watch whatever it is, or if it's the darts and the telly, or, do you know what I mean? And get out and talk to people about it, because there's so many people in this county interested in sport. You see it here in Radio Kerry, the amount of sport coverage is unbelievable.
Huge, yeah.
There's so many people interested in sport, and it is a great way. And if you are interested, get out and watch them. Put on a woolly hat and a jacket, go up to Clare tomorrow, watch the game. You know, it's just so important for, I think, especially men's mental health, obviously mental health of everybody. Get out and clear the head. It's a great way to do it, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And like I said, there's everything's out there for anyone. Like I see it there, especially since Megan has taken up the rowing with Cremorne. You know, it's fantastic. It's a very family kind of thing.
And all ages
and,
out in
and
the water.
All
as well.
Ages, and no matter what ability you are, you'll be put in the boat. The same with the football. The same with the soccer. Whatever you go, just once you're playing something, you're making friends. You know, and I think that's what it's all about. And it's like a conversation. Like in Kerry, we're all experts, Ivan.
We're all experts,
and it's great, you know, because we are all experts. When you go out in the street, you meet people, everyone's talking about what should be done and everything.
And I think as well as that, Ivan, for the young people, it's great to see them involved, and I would promote any sport. It doesn't matter what sport
it is.
Because there's an affinity to the sport you're in, that discipline, it keeps them out of trouble.
Yep.
You know, 100%. There's parents and families and community people involved. It's absolutely brilliant. And long may it continue, because sport is a healthy pastime. Competitive at times, really competitive, but it's
healthy,
great.
Yeah, and like that, if you can't play or not in a position to play, whatever, go and watch. Trust me, it's absolutely.
Or get involved with a management team or a coach or help do something.
Line the pitch, whatever it is.
Stay involved.
If I may say, a good friend of ours passed away before Christmas, Michael Welsh. Better known to us as Duxie. He was a referee in this county. He was at the entrance in Nossenstack Park where the teams went in. He always greeted us on our way in. You know, what a proud Clare man. Every time Clare met Kerry in football, he could think they'd beat him. You know, he was a Kilrush man, but a great friend of all of ours, and we'll miss him greatly in Nossenstack Park. And I'd like to remember him tonight.
Fair play. And because we were all in a WhatsApp, he was a WhatsApp group, and he would send us all messages of every kind of a sport, John, wasn't it?
Results on a Sunday evening, Ivan, or Saturday,
you'd
all the results came in.
You would need to get
a text. Get a text.
There's always people. No, fair play, lads, well said. And may he rest in peace. Safe travels home again. The weather is dipping cold on the roads, and we'll be back again next Monday night, of course. Fingers crossed for Ballymac, and of course on Gaeltacht next Sunday in Croke Park. But we'll take a break. It's hurling after this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Time to switch to the small ball now, and of course Kerry back in action again. It's so hard to believe it that the county teams are back again, but a very short season for Kerry, which will conclude kind of what end of May, early June, begins on Wednesday night away to Waterford in Dungarvan before a big game on Sunday in Ossetag Park with the All-Ireland champions Tipperary coming down, which be a good test for Tweaks aside. Our hurling gurus are on the line. James, I'll start with you. And again, I kind of went to the lads about the McGrath Cup and the football. You don't expect to go out and win it, but what do you want to see from Tweak, and what players do you want to see involved, and what will be the outcome come Sunday evening after the Munster Senior League has finished for the Kerry hurlers?
Yeah, you'd hope, Ivo, that we've nailed down some kind of a team, some kind of structure as well. Like, you'll see, it's at the moment, I'm not sure. Like, they seem to have a big panel in there, and trying to get the best lads on the field of who's available to you. You're always going to miss a few lads, obviously. But if you look at the other teams, Tip and Waterford, they played last weekend, last Saturday, and they drew. Their teams are unrecognisable, Ivo. They're trying to load a new lads. So it's a really good chance for our boys to get a good challenge off these lads, because you know you can play challenge games and all that kind of crap, but there's still a little bit of bite in this, because there's points on the board on offer, like, and you'd hope that, like, get two good games. Maybe scrape a win somewhere. I don't know. Like, look at the game last Saturday. Tip and Watford, what they have out at the minute. They're probably very, very even. Kerry, what way are they? What stage are they now? They have a nice bit done, bit of work done. Like, I know it's early in the year, but you'd hope that fellas go out and just kind of express themselves and we can get a base for the year, get a guide to what can we expect. Can we win a Christian Ring? Can we do well in the league? See where we are. Have a right good call off these two teams. Like, depends, as I say, Ivo, who have we got in there? And who do we want to nail down as our starting centre-back, full-back, centre-forward, or two corner forwards? Vital positions like that, Ivo.
Yeah. Rosetta, just on kind of what James said there, do you kind of want to see roughly kind of the same team so for the two games, one being, of course, Wednesday night, one being Sunday, or do you want to see, let's say, two totally different 15s? What would you like to see out of the Munster Hurling League?
Well, first of all, I think probably an opportunity was missed. We have the Kerry footballers playing on Sunday and the Kerry hurlers as well. And it would have been a good opportunity to have a double header, I think, and to have the Liam McCarthy Cup and the Sam Maguire in Austin Stack Park. It would be great for the young lads. You know, so I think that's an opportunity missed. But to answer your question, we have a massive panel. So I do see massive changes between the two games. I don't think that we've had such a large panel in training for quite a long time. So I do see lads getting their opportunity on Wednesday evening, and then a sort of fresher and another team on Sunday, because I think that Tweek wants to see what he has, and as James said there, no better place to test them than against Watford and Tipperary.
Yeah, it's good test, James, isn't it? Like, heading up to Dungarvan on a Wednesday night is going to be a tricky test, and then welcoming the All-Ireland champions to Kerry on Sunday. You'd hope that, I know there's a lot going on, the Kerry footballers are playing in Killarney and you've got the two clubs playing in Croke Park, but you'd think that there'd be a good North Kerry gang in to see Kerry take on the All-Ireland champions on Sunday?
Oh, definitely on Sunday, Ivo, but I wonder where is the thinking on this game Wednesday night on Watford. I really don't like it. Like, this is inter-county, Ivo. You know yourself, there's pre-match meals, there's pre-match get ready. There's an awful lot getting ready for an inter-county match.
Yeah.
The fellas having to take off a day's work nearly, Ivo, for that fixture of Long Watford on a Wednesday evening. I don't see the thinking behind that one. I really don't. I don't like it, really. It's a bit of a disrespect to our lads, whoever agreed to it, the Kerry lads. Because a lot of lads, I know, if I've been speaking to lads, they're going to have to half day from work, some of the guys are taking a full day off work.
Yeah.
They're not going to make it otherwise, like, because you're going down to Watford playing below on a Wednesday evening, like, fairly early. Like, it's a tough one. No, it's a lovely, great game to have, obviously. Great game to have. You don't want to miss these games, but Christ, Ivo, you could do better in your fixtures.
Yeah,
there.
The Kerry footballers, of course, playing tomorrow night in Clare. It isn't ideal, and probably for supporters either. There probably would have been time, James, to run these off over kind of a couple of weekends, wouldn't there? I mean, you're talking the league's not starting, what, till the end of January, so you probably had a bit more time to run the games off, maybe over two weekends. And again, very hard for Kerry playing Wednesday and Sunday, and the footballers the same Tuesday, Sunday. It's a tight turnaround for inter-county terms.
It is, it really is. And you know, it's caused by their own silly fixture congestion by having All-Ireland in August. Really. It's killing themselves.
But is it Kerry season short enough as it is? They're well shorter. Is it the Christian Ring final on the middle of May? Is it end of May?
That's it. Like, and then you're like with Kerry Hurling, we'll be on. You can guarantee the Hurling Championship will be shortly after that. If they see a window where they just get a play, they will play it. And like, that's not being disrespectful, but we know exactly this situation. So you could have a Hurling Championship this year that could come earlier again.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea, Ivo. I don't like it. Like, it's what chance have all Kerry players, all our club players now that are in with Kerry? Delighted to see them in there. Brilliant. Get them all in there. That's what you want. But you didn't want these players coming back to you in their best shape, in their best hurling of the year, coming back, maybe having a good month, 2 months spin with you before they play championship. Next thing, you have a real structure of your team, solid for your team, for your club, and for your county. It's a hard season, Ivo. Like, it's for, look, this is not just for hurlers. This is for every team. I don't like the structure at the minute, the way the GAA is doing things.
Yeah, you're kind of flat to the mat, really, from the start of the year until it's all very rushed with the league and the Christy Ring in particular. Restart for you, I suppose what you mentioned there about the it's not ideal that the footballers are playing in Killarney at the same time as the hurlers in Tralee, but Kerry beat Tipperary before in this competition in Tralee. Wouldn't it be lovely to see a crowd in there to see them potentially overturn the All-Ireland champions?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's a great opportunity, obviously, to see Tip as well, you know, the All-Ireland champions, and weren't the All-Ireland champions. But I hope now that, you know, that people will come in and support the Kerry hurlers. They've put in a massive amount of work. There's a large panel there. They've worked really hard on the tweet. And I see firsthand the amount of work they've done. They've played a couple of challenge matches as well and played very well. They're playing good hurling this year. And above all, there's a lot of lads who have come back into the fold again. Absolutely fantastic to see guys going back in. And that's very encouraging. And as I say, as a result, we have a massive panel. We were talking last year about the panel that we had, how small it was and how much under pressure the Kerry hurlers were, having lost 20 players over 2 years. But now, this year, big panel, big names back. So I think, there should be an improvement in our fortunes. And I hope people come in on Sunday to support the Kerry hurlers.
Yeah, well said, Restard. Lads, thanks very much for taking the call this evening, a chilly evening. Hopefully you're nice and tucked up by the fire and everything else. Enjoy the two games. And what we might do is maybe next Monday night, we'll have the two games played and we might check in to see how progress was. But lads, thanks a million for now. It's a pleasure. James McCarthy there and Richard O'Farron, our hurling gurus, looking ahead to Kerry's games. Of course, Kerry taking on Waterford Wednesday evening in Dungarvan, and the welcoming the All-Ireland champions Tipperary to Ostack Park in Tralee on Sunday next. After this quick break, we'll dip into a small bit of the archives after the sad death of Pat O'Dwyer over the weekend.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Now, tributes have been paid to Limerick man Pat O'Dwyer, a prominent figure in international strength sport, who died at the age of 40, very sadly, over the weekend. He was known as the Limerick Lion, and he held the title of Ireland's Strongest Man 5 times and won the UK's Strongest Man competition in 2018. Well, I produced this programme for a number of years and under Eamon Hickson, of course, and his story intrigued me back in 2021. So we got the Rackian man on Terrace Talk, and he spoke about the sport and his diet and all sorts of training that went in to become Ireland's Strongest Man. And this is a bit of his chat with Eamon Hickson in 2021.
Now, Pat O'Dwyer has won the title of Ireland's Strongest Man on multiple occasions. He was the 2018 UK Strongest Man and is a World's Strongest Man competitor. And he's from just over the border in Limerick. Pat, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk.
Hello, Eamon. How are you?
Doing very well. Great to chat to you this evening. For people who don't know, Pat, what's involved in a strongman competition?
A strongman competition can range from a lot of things. It can be... You guess it's normally 5 to 6 events, and it can be lifting anything from a jeep to pulling a truck to lifting boulders over your head to lifting heavy logs over your head. It's not about being strong, but you have to be fit as well, do you know? Yep. So there's a lot in trying to be a strongman.
That's an element I think that maybe some people don't see. They see the likes of you and your competitors lifting Atlas stones and the like and throwing logs, but the cardio element, tell me a little bit about that and what's required.
Basically, like a cardio event for us can be picking up normally it's like kegs filled with concrete, so there might be 200 kilos. You might get a bag of, it's like a sandbag that might weigh in around 150 kilos. That now is probably numbers to some people, but all money, that'd be like 6 bags of cement in one pickup and run with that then. So for my training, then I just work on my sprints, because I don't actually have to be that fit long term. I just need to be able to sprint hard for maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
All right. And what distance runs do you do?
Normally it can range, it's normally 20, 25 metres, you know, back and forward. Then you might have 4 or 5 implements then to load onto a platform.
How did you get into strongman competitions in the first place?
Well, I joined the gym when I was around 21 years of age, and at the time I was only a small fella. I was about 11 or 12 stone, and I kind of educated myself along as I went with, you know, reading books and the internet and that, and I started getting really strong inside the gym. So I entered my first strongman competition. I only did it for the crack. I came across it on Facebook, and it was blowing cork, and at the day there was like 20, 25 competitors. And I nearly won it that day, so I think I was third in that competition. So after that, then I said I'd stick with it for a bit.
You were a relative latecomer to the game then, if you only started looking at it at 2021. Would that be fair to say?
It would be, yeah. But then again, like, strength sports wouldn't be like the likes of soccer or other things like that. We see most soccer players kind of retire in their like late 20s, early 30s, where with strength sports, you're only kind of coming into your base strength mid-30s. World's Strongest Men, most of the guys are mid to late 30s. A lot of the guys are over 40. There's three guys over 50 years of age at World's Strongest Men. And World's Strongest Men basically is 25 of the strongest men on the planet.
And you were involved in that competition recently?
Yeah, I was over in Florida last November.
November.
It was, yeah.
And tell us a little bit about your diet. I imagine the calorie count must be off the charts.
Yeah, leading up to World's Strongest Man, I was eating just over 9,000 calories a day. So each day, 7 days a week, there was no break from it. It's probably that. It's like any professional strongman will tell you the same thing. The training is tough, but we enjoy it. It's the diet that's just is a nightmare, because there before I got to bed, even up until now, I'm still eating to be like two sirloin steaks, to be 325 grams of steak before bed. And first thing in the morning, then it's normally kicks off with, before World's Strongest Men, I was eating 10 Weetabix in the morning. So the diet is a big factor on strongmen.
Is it hard to find time to consume that amount of food?
It is. It's very hard, especially now that I've kind of moved up to a professional level, because you can't just roll up to World's Strongest Man and expect to do well. All the guys at World's Strongest Man are professional athletes, so that's kind of the route I'm going. So at the minute, I don't have many sponsors on board, but like I imagine if I had, I'd be able to dedicate more time to it and put Ireland on the map. Ireland has never made the final of World's Strongest Man, which is top 10 would be the final of World's Strongest Men, and that's my ultimate aim, to put Ireland on the map finally there. Like, World's Strongest Men has been around for nearly 50 years and we still have no Irishmen on the top 10, so I'm going to put an end to that drought.
Tell us your plan today. So what have you eaten roughly today?
Today I have eaten, this morning I woke up, I started off today with a protein shake, which is 3 scoops of protein and 100 grams of oats. The meal after that then is 15 eggs with fruit, and I have 4 meals following that, and they're all the same. It's 300 grams of steak, rice and veg by 4 meals. So at the minute I'm hitting in around 6,500 or 7,000 calories a day.
So you still have 1,000, maybe 1,500, even 2,000 before bed?
I have, yeah. I have 2 more meals before bed.
And what kind of training did you do today?
Today it was deadlifting. But my training is light at the minute. It's in the off-season at the minute. I'm just kind of working on my weaknesses. So I'm keeping where I'm strongest would be my deadlift. So there's no point killing myself in deadlift. And that's, you know, heavy deadlifts anyway kill the CNS. So, like, unless I'm shoving towards the competition, I'm not going to be lifting too heavy weight. But event days can be fun, though. Coming up to World's Strongest Men, we're on a Saturday there, we'd start pulling trucks around the car park here. And that was fun.
you mentioned the CNS, so the central nervous system, for people who might be familiar. So you wouldn't train your peaks that often, would you?
No, because not to blow too much smoke up my own. Yeah. But my strength levels are very high. So like my max deadlift is in around 440 kilos. My max squat would be around 400 kilos. My bench is 250 kilos. So I couldn't touch those numbers every week or it'd be burnt out after 2 weeks. So I just work off percentages of that. So I'll work on my 50, 60, 70% of my maxes and just go off speed. Just, you know, I'm strong enough. I just need to, at the minute, I'm one of the smallest guys in the circuit. I'm in around 22 stone. And I'm one of the smallest guys at World's Strongest Man. So my main goal at the minute is if I put on more weight, then I might get stronger. So that's, I'm taking a, try to, that's kind of my main goal at the minute, is just to get up around maybe 24, 25 stone and be still able to move, you know.
Not many athletes are saying they're trying to put on a couple of stone weight. at the start of the season.
Yeah. Pat, I find it very hard to put on weight. It's more guys, like there's, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Game of Thrones, but one of the guys in World's Strongest Men is the Mountain out of Game of Thrones. Mm. And to him, it comes natural. Like he, at World's Strongest Men, he weighs in around 32 stone and he's abs at that. He's able to run and sprint and do all that. But he's 6'10", so like being 22 stone, you has your disadvantages when you come up going against giants like that.
Was he at the World event in November?
He wasn't actually there this year. He put the signal. He's retired for a while, but he was there the year before. He was second the year before, and he's won it. The year before that, he was World's Strongest Man in 2018.
Pat, you mentioned a deadlift of 440, and just trying to do quick maths, that's about 70 stone in old money, as we say. And what goes through your head when you're after a couple of sets, you're trying to do deadlifts of 440, or maybe in a competition, you're after doing a lot of those 20, 25 meter sprints, and you're bending down for a 100 kg Atlas stone, or maybe 150 kg, and you're exhausted, and you're trying to get it up onto that ledge? What goes through your head?
The only thing that goes through your head is like the weeks of training that I'm after putting into it, the amount of hours I'm after breaking my back putting into this competition, the hours and money I've spent, my own money that I spend on food every week. I spend an average around €300 a week on food. I spend so much time with, like these days, most of my time is spent with recovery. So I spend a lot of time with physio. I spend a lot of time doing mobility, stretch and stuff like this, you know. Yeah. And the day of competition, I'm thinking of all this. I'm thinking of putting Ireland on the map, putting that green, white and gold, you know, finally onto the World's Strongest Man. I put everything on the line. And when it comes to the day of competition, I would kill myself before I'd lay down and be beat. So I think of all these things on the day of the competition.
That's good motivation. Where in Limerick do you train, Pat?
I'm training in a gym. Well, it's closing out at the minute, but I'm training in the bodybuilding. It's a gym in Raheen in County Limerick. But I've all my equipment there, so when it comes time to train again, it's handy because it's a big massive wide open gym for all that carry on.
And Pat, at the moment, because of COVID regulations, what do you think is the plan in relation to events over the coming months
with the competitions? Last year they ran a lot of competitions behind doors, so there was no one there. It was filmed for TV, so we did a lot of TV. Europe's Strongest Man, we did a couple of other shows, it was all for TV, but this year they need crowds going to these shows, so unless we're back to normal, there will be no shows this year other than World's Strongest Man, because World's Strongest Man will be held in America again. So that's possibly, I think that's the only competition that's coming up for us this year so far. I can't see anything going ahead, to be honest, so motivation is at a bit of a low at the minute when you hear that sort of news, you know. So
is it difficult to compete with no crowds there?
Sorry?
Is it difficult to compete when there are no people there, no crowds?
Yeah, it was. Like, I did a show in January last year before all this hit, Britain's Strongest Men. And there was, I think there was 15 or 20,000 people there. And when you've that many people roaring at you, shouting your name, it's a massive motivator to do more in a competition as opposed to, like, Europe's Strongest Men, which was held in, it was on in August. And that was held behind closed doors, and it just felt like a training session, you know. There wasn't that energy from the crowd, or, you know, it didn't feel like a real show, to be honest.
Pat, when you were training, when the gym was open, when there were no lockdowns, or if you're training on your own at home, is it very hard to find a training partner? And not making light of this, but there's no one within a million miles of your strength.
Well, unfortunately, there isn't, though. But I do have training partners. Like I've two guys that kind of come and go with me all the time, and their strength wouldn't be on the same level as me. But I have a coach who is a strongman, and I look to my friends in the strongman circuit and I look what they're doing, and so that kind of motivates me. So I don't look at the guys that are training me trying to outbeat them, because obviously they wouldn't be my strength level. So I look at my counterparts, the guys across the water in England and America and Lithuania and all that.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
These are the guys I'd be looking at.
There you go. That's the now late Power Dwyer of County Limerick, who sadly passed away over the weekend, age 40 or yesterday. Grave on him. Thanks very much for listening this evening. Thanks to Liam and John for reviewing all the club games, and to the Hurling lads for chatting Hurling. And we'll be back again next Monday evening, all going well. Lacoon of Day for Ballymac and Ungueltered. Until then, thanks to Niamh, who produced. Mary's up next, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.